Many real estate agents across Australia confidently refer Property Insurance Plus to their clients as they recognise the price and benefit value of their policy combined with the client-focused service they deliver. They offer a comprehensive building and landlord insurance facility and have formed a powerhouse to present the very best in investment property insurance. Contact PIP today to find out more.
Today, I am really excited to have someone that is not working actively in property management, but is going to come with a little bit of a different perspective for property managers today. And that is Madeline Roberts from Madeline Roberts Property. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Ashley.
Now, first podcast for you, so I'm really excited to share this experience with you. And I hope there'll be many more. I'm sure there will be. But your profile says that you are a property advocate and evaluator in training, and yes, you hold 10 plus years of professional and personal property experience. So if I know you started and started quite young, and yes, I think I got this from TikTok, because you do have a fantastic following on TikTok. I think you've got around 8,000 followers. So those that aren't following on TikTok, head over to Madeline Roberts Property and check that out as well. But you started quite young. So talk us through your experience from a personal and a professional point of view.
Okay, sure. So I actually started as a weekend receptionist in a little boutique agency on the Mornington Peninsula where I'm from when I was 14. So that was my first job. And I enjoyed it. It was like Saturday, Sunday whilst during the week I was at school. So that's where I started. And then up until I was 18, I did a little bit of that. And then I did some sales assisting. And then when I turned 18, I went into I wanted to be in sales. I feel like, you know, you think, oh, flashy real estate sales. That's where I wanted to be. I went for a few different jobs, but I was also very mindful that nobody was really going to give their house to sell to an 18-year-old. So I wasn't delusional. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, so that anyway, I went for a few different interviews and I landed a property management assistant role. And I thought, well, it's not really what I want to do, but I'm just going to do it. And then I started
Can I just stop you there? Yeah. That's like the classic, that's a classic intro for every single property manager that enters property management. Didn't really want to do it, but just fell into it.
Yeah. I think the more, like most of the best jobs that people have, they tend to just fall into them. Been my experience anyway. So I was a property management assistant and it was a very small agency. It was in a place called Capel Sound. It was previously Rosebud West. If you're in Victoria, you'd know where it is. It's gone through gentrification, but it used to be just like it didn't used to have a very good name at all. But the senior property manager was leaving after 6 months. And they were actively looking to find a senior property manager. I was 18. I was an assistant property manager. I had 6 months experience. So I didn't really know, you know, I was just going along for the ride, but I was enjoying it. But I was like to my boss at the time, can I do it? And he's like, okay, yeah, I don't see why not. So next minute they're training me up to manage the whole department because I was going to have an assistant. I had to do the trust accounting, you know, and that's a pretty big deal. So it was either like sink or swim. And I love that mentality because that's when you're really going to thrive. And I did. I really enjoyed it. I was doing trust accounting, VCAT preparation and presentation, and I was loving it. So that's kind of where I started professionally. And from there, I held, you know, senior roles at a couple of different agencies. And then I was a rental department manager for a different company. And then I did leave when I was 24 for maternity leave. So I had a few years off thereafter. But on a personal level, I purchased my first house when I was 18. Again, that was in Rosebud. And I just think I've always had this real pull towards property because for me, property equals security. That's what I think. So it's just how I feel. So it was really important for me to get my foot in the real estate market more so than traveling. And, you know, everyone, when you're young, you want to go to Europe and you want to sightsee. And don't get me wrong, I've done a little bit of travel, but very minimal because for me, getting my roots into the ground was so much more important. And then I was like, I really aspired to be like some other people that I saw. And these were actually like grown men at the time, you know, but they had large property portfolios. And to me, that just was so, so inspiring. So then when I was 19, I did get another property as well. And that I sat with that for a little bit. But during that time, I also helped set up a rental department for a buyer's advocacy in St. Kilda. And this is when buyer's advocacy, I hardly knew what it was. It was totally brand new thing back then. And so then I also had maternity leave for a few years with my first child. I felt it was important to stay at home with her. I had this vision that I would take time off, maybe 12 months, and then jump straight back into the 9 to 5 and then some of property management, which is just, it was just not going to happen. So did that. I did apply when I was younger to Deakin University to become a property valuer. And at the time, though, I pulled back from that because I had to pay my mortgages. So they were a really, obviously, like I didn't have the freedom to study and work part time, et cetera, because I had to focus on those things. But then over the past year, I got back into working for a property valuer. I've been really enjoying that. So I've been studying. I'm nearly a sworn valuer. And then I started this TikTok like last September. And I was just starting it to see if people would end up, if I could drive valuations to the property valuation company I work for. But I gained so much traction so quickly. Like, I was really surprised. There was, in the beginning, it was like when I'm actively working on it, you know, as you would know with TikTok, you really need to put out the content. And if you put it out, the algorithm favors you. So when I started gaining traction quite quickly, people were reaching out to me and saying, hey, can you purchase property for me? And I was like, I was talking to my mom one day and I was like, yeah, I've had a couple of people that want me to purchase property for them, but I don't know. And she was like, why would you not? And I was like, I don't know. And then it's led me to that, and I'm loving it. It's probably one of the best jobs I've ever done. So I'm really, really loving the buyer's advocacy side of things. I got my full license, and yeah, I'm loving that.
And just out of curiosity, is there a reason, like, I love the word buyer's advocacy and I use the word investor advocacy as well, only because for me, I am not really interested in the first home buyers and the people buying their own home. It's more the investor side. Is there a reason why you use buyer's advocacy versus buyer's agent? Is it just a preference, or?
Yeah, I'm actually not sure, because they do mean the same thing. I grew up, like, as I said, I worked for a buyer's advocate. So they were a buyer's advocate. That's what they were called. But I've been seeing lately on especially TikTok a lot more of the word buyer's agent being thrown around. And I actually am unsure. I'm happy to go by both. But yeah, they are the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. No, I wasn't sure if there was any specific reason for that. Let's touch on TikTok for a little bit, because it's such an interesting platform. And I have been lucky that I've just had a few random posts that have gone really well. But it is hit and miss. And I don't love it, so I'm not consistent. So I need to be better at that, like yourself. But it's really interesting that you said that that's where you got a lot of interest from as well. And I guess it's a reminder to property managers out there that everyone harps on about it. It is a very promising platform to start dabbling in.
It is. I think it's absolutely crazy that the potential's out there. I mean, you have like 11,000 followers on there, don't you?
Yeah.
And you're saying you're not even active, like, you know, really consistent on there. Imagine if you were consistent. I think so. The algorithm favors if you could post 3 to 5 times a day. So I try to at least post once a day. Sometimes it's 3 times a day, but I notice when I do post more that I have more videos that go, you know, semi-viral. And there's just so much business that comes from it these days. And I think it's because it's a place of education. So, you know, it's these short form videos that just spit out information and education. So people go on there to learn about all different things. And obviously, if you're in somebody's feed that want to learn about what you're doing, it you know, it's pushing you out towards people that are looking in the property market, you know, and so they're picking it up and then you're a familiar face for them. So of course they're going to reach out to you. I just think it's not a platform to sleep on, that's for sure.
Is it, and the clients that you're getting from there, are you finding that they're a younger generation or not necessarily?
No, not necessarily, which is the interesting thing. And I do see the analytics and I can see that, you know, majority of my TikTok viewers are younger people. And I suppose that's because mostly young people use the platform, but I've had more older people than younger people. And when I say older, I just mean, I'm talking like more people, let's say 35, 40 plus reach out to me to use my services than younger people. So if they're looking to be educated and they're looking for services.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's wonderful sponsor is Property Assist WA. Shannon and her team are really committed to assisting property managers' workload by assisting them with outsourcing services like routine inspections, final bond inspections, and property condition reports. Keep your property managers doing what they love and outsource the things they don't to a company that thrives on positive feedback and guarantees a premium personalised service with a smile. The vision of Property Assist WA is to make a difference to the quality and perception of property managers, enabling you to keep your clients happy whilst improving the efficiency of your staff.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to also know, because like my kids are on TikTok, my kids wouldn't see on their For You page stuff like buyer's advocacy because they're not interested in that. They're only going to see their stuff. So I guess that's probably where a lot of people, there's a bit of a myth around it, is that, yeah, there's young people. But, yeah, like I said, my 14-year-old won't be seeing your stuff, and it's only the more mature people that will see it. And, I mean, I think that there's two types of people on TikTok. I think there's a lot of people on TikTok, they just don't admit they are. So there's 35 to 40-year-old people. They're scrolling. They're looking.
Yes. You know, my husband's even one of them. He's like, TikTok's ridiculous, but then every now and then I see him going through.
Can I tell you a funny story? Like, so, and my partner, he's on TikTok as well. And I know, because sometimes he goes, oh, I saw that on TikTok. And I'm like, that's where I saw it. So I saw this thing on TikTok where it had a, they were making like strawberries with the melted Cadbury chocolate, but they melted the chocolate in the Cadbury bag in the microwave. So I thought, great, easy. Like, I'll do that for the kids for dessert the other night. And except the stupid video on TikTok missed the part where it says that you submerge the chocolate packet in a bowl of water, boiling water, and then you put it in the microwave. I missed that bit. They cut that bit out of edited out of the video. So I just put the whole block of chocolate in the microwave, and then the microwave started sparking up because of the writing on the packet. So that was my little peed off moment from content creators who miss out a very crucial part of the video.
Multiple videos, like, first, you know what I mean, to get make sure they're across everything. Yeah.
And if I was a 15-year-old, I'd probably go and put some hate on that video to say you missed out that part, but I'm a chiller and I didn't do it.
Yeah. Have you had any hate on TikTok?
I have had a bit of hate on TikTok. And I I'm thick skinned. I honestly couldn't read less.
I look and I do laugh, but I just think, who has the time? And I think, sorry, but you must be really miserable if you want to sit there and be naked, you know what I mean? But it's out there. Especially I find, because I'm in the property industry. Do you find that as well? Yes,
absolutely. That's all it is about. And I actually don't read the comments, and I certainly don't comment on the comments either. So I think when you do get hate, that's the biggest thing. And if I, like, there was once where I took a couple of days, I didn't look at anything, and then like it was just eating me alive. And I said to my partner, can you believe that they, you know, said this and this? How dumb are they? And I was having a rant. He goes, Ash, you promise that if you're going to start posting stuff, you're not going to be reading or looking at the negative comments. So I was right. So I just now don't look at that. The hardest thing for me was like with my kids at the very start, they saw the negative stuff and they were like, Mum, why are they saying that? And then they started, like my 14-year-old, who's a mini me, she started piping in, you know.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, Mil, just leave it. Honestly, it's uneducated people. Like, you know, just it's, I'm okay, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But that probably is the hardest part, is when your children see it. But I think my children have probably got me blocked now, or they don't even follow me, so they don't see anything.
I've got 4 and one, so I'm not yet at that hurdle, but that's a complex one to manage for sure.
It is, yeah, but they don't really care for my stuff, so it's probably a bit easier. Anyway, they think I'm, you know, cringy, so, and I always remind my 14-year-old that I've got more followers than her on TikTok when she thinks that I'm cringy.
Really cool.
exactly. The rest of Australia does, just not her little group. So yeah, but it's the positive thing is that negative comments does make your post perform really well.
It does. That's why, do you know what? I feel like I start getting the negative posts, I actually think yes, because the more, what's the word? Like the more, I can't think of the word, but the more people are like triggered by your post, the more likely they are to comment. And when I see those comments come through, I'm like, this one's going to do well. So I literally do not care. I'm always like, I actually used to comment back to some of them asking questions like, you think? ? Because the angrier they are, the more passionate they are. So the more comments that keep coming, and I'm here for it.
Absolutely. And I actually read something, and please note to those listening, I've never done this in my life, but I have heard of people that actually set up fake accounts so they can put hate on, like, so that you can put hate on your own post to start triggering that. It's actually a thing. So
that makes me, I feel like people see the rude comments, they feel like they're more behind some sort of screen, even more so, and they're like, yeah, I'll jump on that too. So I can imagine that. I see that.
Yeah, but I haven't got to that point yet of needing to, but people just hate naturally. Well, they hate property managers. I should say me. They hate property managers generally. So we've gone completely off topic with TikTok. TikTok's fun, but let's just go into some stuff that what I wanted to actually chat to you about today was sort of as that buyer's advocate and then as a property manager. I think property managers naturally just go through the transaction side of managing a property. You know, they do the rent, they do the inspections. They don't necessarily have a holistic look at landlords and the potential that landlords have got. And I guess I just wanted to open up the listeners' minds a little bit in regards to this. And, you know, ironically, today I've got my first investor Zoom set up where, and I've got, I think I've got about 40 booked in just for this month. I've just done it on one portfolio as a trial. And I've actually invited my landlords to have an annual check-in with me. And so in that annual check-in, number one, it's a really good opportunity for the landlord to vent any concerns they've got, you know, with the management. Okay. If there has been anything that hasn't, like if the communication hasn't been up to scratch, if they have any just concerns about the amount of maintenance on the property. But it allows me to also double check, have they got a depreciation schedule, how they're going with their smoke alarms checks, you know, look at their maintenance over the year. Is it normal? If they haven't spent any money on maintenance, should they start considering putting some money aside for some renovations? The other thing that I want to check is that how they're going financially, and actually physically saying, how are you going financially, you know, with your payments and the rent return? Is the rent return, you know, enough at the moment, or is there room for us to increase? But having that one-on-one conversation, I've allocated half an hour, I think is, don't get me wrong, it's time consuming. I'm just trialing it this month. But I think it's the only way to physically get a hold of the investor and have that conversation with them about how their journey's going, and do they want to consider getting a second property? How can I help you get that? So
that is a very holistic approach. I have heard of, like, you know, annual call-ins and things like that, but really scheduling like a Zoom and to get into those nitty-gritty questions, I think that's excellent. At least that's very, like, I'd be so happy with that service personally if I was a landlord.
Yeah, and I think as well it's about filling up that landlord's cup, and that's the analogy that I've got. And if there happens to be little hiccups along the way with a landlord with something that the property manager's done, that's, you know, not a big drama, but because their landlord's cup's full so much, these little tiny things that sometimes can happen won't be as obvious. But if you don't fill up your landlord's cup and those little things happen all the time, once it gets, you know, to the bottom, they're out.
Yeah, they'll take the cup elsewhere. So that's amazing. I think that's such a good idea. I think I would encourage property managers to do that. But the only issue is in some agencies, I feel as though they don't have the numbers. Like from a director's point of view, they're not managing the numbers correctly with their property managers. So they wouldn't have the time. But that's the added benefit of managing numbers that are within, you know, your ability. So then you're able to do those check-ins. Like, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess where I wanted to speak to you is, do you feel that there is like at what point could a property manager be crossing the line with that advice and discussion and get to a point where they've got to say, listen, I would love to put you in touch with a buyer's agent or a buyer's advocate who can maybe help you get to that point. So I know I'm sort of throwing you under the bus with that question, but what's your, from your point of view, where do you think that line can be crossed, and when would be the best point to suggest that they go down that road of employing someone like yourself?
So what I would suggest is it's really okay to ask these questions and to find out where they want to be and what they want to do and what their goals are. But you can, I think it's okay to speak generally about what others are doing and other landlords in the area and how they're maximizing value. But perhaps if you want to give any advice, I think the best thing, and perhaps all property managers really should do this, or BDMs, is have a very strong network and list of referrals that you can pass on. And whether that's a buyer's advocate, a broker, a financial advisor, just have a strong list there. And then it will also become a part of your package in a sense. So when people, if I was a landlord and you gave me the contact details for a really good buyer's advocate or a really good mortgage broker, and I had an excellent experience with them, I am going to relate that experience back to you because you've given me those details. So then when I think of you, like that's a package. Do you know what I'm saying? So I would feel really, really satisfied that not only am I having a really good experience with you as my property manager, but I've had an excellent experience with these other people that you've referred to me. So I think having a really strong list of like a network and referrals that you can pass along, I think is really important.
I like that. And actually, I'm just writing some notes down, because what some ideas for property managers could do is potentially like getting that network. That's probably absolutely the first thing to do. So we've got a buyer's advocate, we've got a finance broker, we've got a potentially a settlement agent, we've got a financial advisor. And then you could, as a property manager, you could potentially even create little Zoom interviews where you then do a little interview with someone like yourself, and then you can send that to all your clients to say, hey, for those that are interested in building a portfolio, here is a little interview, or here's a little chat that I had with Madeline. And it can be a bit of a soft intro to get them thinking that they might want to go down that road. And doing the same with like a finance broker could be a really good way of introducing that network to their clients and getting them familiar with the right people. So I think that's a fantastic idea, is getting that network first.
And I just think like that's just adding so much value to your job as the property manager, because you've just like, there's so much value surrounding that and what you're providing, that level of service you're providing your landlord. You're going so much further and beyond just, you know, the day-to-day basics. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about value add in property management, and I guess this is just showcasing that the value add doesn't necessarily have to come from like us personally. It just comes from our network. So utilizing that network is really a really easy thing for people to do. So I think Great tip. Now, so we've talked about how property managers can identify or help landlords wanting to build their portfolio. So that is either setting up those one-on-one chats, or creating that network, creating those webinars and videos for clients, and sending them off. The other thing that I wanted to chat with you about was, what are some of the common challenges or misunderstandings that arise with landlords wanting to build a portfolio? Like, are you seeing any landlords potentially jumping in too early into the process? Or like, should they have an existing property that is super tidy, performing, you know what I mean? Or are you seeing people like not care about headaches, just, you know, maximizing their loan ability?
Value, I think there's definitely two different mindsets out there. And I do think that, like, the savvy investors, they do care about things being tidy before jumping onto another property. But I think most are number focused, if I'm honest. So it's really just how's this one performing and then going to the next one.
Yeah.
But I do see, I'm part of a like investor chat group. I think you would be too. And I've seen people, a lot of people that think that when they've got multiple properties or they want to have more properties, that they should self-manage. And that for me is like, don't go there. That's just my, that's the only thing that I think, like, that's like the biggest warning sign for me. Do you know what I mean? And I would tell anyone any day of the week, do not self-manage. Even when I was a property manager, I think I tried it for a little bit and I was just like, I was a property manager. And it's just don't do it. It's so much safer being with an agent. So that's kind of the only thing for me that I think is the biggest warning.
I don't even self-manage my own property. I've got this house, which is about an hour out of Perth. And yes, I could do it myself. No, I'm going to use the local agent up there. And do you know what? I mean, they sent me their fees, which were a bit more expensive than I was expecting. I was like, Ash, don't be one of those landlords that ask for a discount. Just pay whatever they're charging. And I pay their fee schedule. I pay for them to do it. And honestly, it's like a chef that doesn't want to cook when they get home. I don't want to cook my own property.
No, too much involved. And I think some landlords don't understand that. So the landlords that are really number driven, they might just see that as an unnecessary number, but it would be very silly to do so. And I've seen other people, you know, they say, oh, I've been quoted like, you know, 7.7%. That feels a bit expensive. And other people have said, like, you know, are you looking for 6.6? Because it's a difference of a couple of coffees, like a week. And the service could be so much better quality. So just, yeah, don't be that person. I completely understand the numbers game. But when it comes to having somebody professional look after it for you, it's just invaluable.
Yeah, it is. I saw a dumb comment the other day and I had to hold myself back from commenting on it. It was a guy that said something like, since there's not that many good property managers in WA, I'm thinking of starting an agency. You know, like, it can't be that hard. And I'm like, oh my God, like, now we've got, like, we've had investors turn buyers agents, and now we've got investors thinking that they can do a better job and now wanting to own a real estate agent. And I'm like, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking things are good while they're good. Like, you know, if you've got a good tenant, sure, the job looks really easy. But if you get a shit tenant, like, oh my God, it's an absolute nightmare. Like, we're even just like, we've got one that we're dealing with at the moment where the poor tenant is in an apartment where it's actually quite dangerous. There's been some drug deals. She's been broken into. Like, she's in a really feeling very, very unsafe. And her husband's a FIFO worker. And, you know, it's those crappy situations. And I had to call the owner last night and talk to her about it. And I just said, listen, legally, you know, this is the situation. Morally, this is the situation. Yeah. You know, like, I said, I'm going to leave it with you. You know, both options. I said, but morally, you know, I don't want something to happen to this lady. Like, I feel, you know, yeah. And then releasing it's going to be really difficult knowing the situation. And yeah, fortunately, this landlord was just like went down the moral road and let these tenants just vacate straight away without any penalty, which was great. But yeah, it's those tricky situations that come up that you've got to handle that as investors don't actually always see the behind the scene work.
I think a lot, it's like, well, you lease the property and then that's it, and they'll transfer you money every week or month, and it's just not that. There is so much more to it and so much you need to know. I actually am talking about, like, morally. I saw somebody the other day and they were saying, you know, their property manager wasn't being proactive. So this is another really important thing. Like, I think you need to be so happy with your property manager and know that they're proactive and that they're working for you. This one had let rent increases slide for quite a few years. Now it turns out the property was undervalued by $200 per week. That's huge. But this tenant had been there for many years and was a really good tenant. And he was like, what should I do? And I straight away said, you've said yourself he's a good tenant. I wouldn't be increasing more than $20 a week, because just morally, it's just, you know, yes, it's a numbers game, but they're humans. You're dealing with humans and human beings. So, like, it goes back to that morally as well. But that's why if your property manager stays on to it too, it wouldn't get that far behind, you know?
That's right. They wouldn't have noticed that $20 increase over the last couple of years. And there was a TikTok about this. So there was a lady, on a landlord, who had increased the rent. I can't remember how much, but let's just say she increased it $150. But she had also, so she increased it $150 a week. However, she hadn't increased it for 3 years or something like that. And during COVID, and she was like, do you know what? I actually have not increased it for 3 years. I could have been charging more. And now it's all caught up. So I'm not really the asshole here, because, you know what I mean? They've actually saved money. I was like, good point. Good point.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it's very, very interesting. It's all about perception, though, isn't it? But one thing, like, are you seeing any red flags that might indicate a landlord is taking on too much risk with their portfolio? Is there ever a situation where you might say, like, to someone who wants to buy, listen, I don't know if this is for you? Like, I mean, probably not, but has there been a situation like that?
Look, there hasn't been personally, and I think that's because before I do take on a client, you know, they need to have approval and things like that. They deal with their broker, some of them a financial advisor, and I do feel as though that's out of my realm of being able to tell them what's right and what's wrong. But if they're saying to me, I have had a client who was like, you know, we can afford this much. I think it was like 1 to 1.1. And then no, it was up to like 1.2. And I found a property, they said they could maybe go 1.3. So I did find something at 1.3, but I said to them, but don't push it. You know, we can get you a nice property around that 1.1, 1.2. That's a very healthy budget for where they were looking. And do you really need to press that extra 100,000, especially if it's your primary place of residence? This person had, you know, a child and another baby on the way. So I did say to them, I don't think it's a good idea you take on that much extra. And they didn't have their heart set on the property either, but I just didn't want to, you know, take this one. This looks good. I know it's going to be a little bit tricky for you, but just take it. I would never want to do that or encourage that.
No. And I guess that's where the fine line comes in, doesn't it, with regards to the professional and the personal side of things. You said something before, which I love and I've used it before as well, but referring to what other people do. So when these questions, you know, come up, and if you're unsure if you're overstepping a personal or a professional boundary, sometimes actually, like, instead of saying I would, you know what I mean, I wouldn't, using the word I, but saying my other clients or my other investors probably would tread a little bit carefully with this situation, or my other investors or my other clients would probably be more inclined to do this and take the focus off a personal point. And you mentioned that before, which I was meant to talk really about.
Not you short, or I think you short. You know, it's just, look, I know somebody else and this is what they did. So it's like, that's one thing I did love, like when I was like a department manager, I love that management side of things, and it just to manage things gently. And, you know, that's a part of it. I think you've got to be really soft and gentle when you are managing, because you can't say, if I was you, this is what I would do, because you just can't.
that doesn't go down well. So then I guess from a property manager, there's going to be property managers listening to this that probably feel the same, but helping clients build a portfolio is definitely going down the road of getting not personally involved, but sort of personally involved in their personal financial situation as well. And so drawing that line is very careful. You know, you've got to be very careful in doing that. But I actually think it's okay to say to a client, how are you going with your mortgage repayments? Do you need to speak to a finance broker to potentially just get it assessed to make sure you're on the best rate? Or, that type of thing. And like that's what you talked about, that network of people to refer to. I think that they are actually okay questions to have as well with clients. One of the red flags that I would call it a red flag, or I'd probably be careful, I probably wouldn't be bothered talking to an owner about getting another property, is those that are real painful when it comes to maintenance. So I agree with you. I think a lot of people buying at the moment are numbers focused. So I think that they will just keep on buying to maximize their loan capacity or borrowing capacity. But gosh, they're a pain in the butt when it comes to maintenance, some of these people.
Some are dreadful. And like, the ones who are Mr. Do-It-Themselves or Mrs. Do-It-Themselves. So it's like electrical, I'll call over. No, you can't do that. Like plumbing, I'll call over. Like, and it's like pretty much a bit of sticky tape over something. Like, and then do you know what? It's really challenging is obviously as a property manager, it's your job to educate them and say like, no, you need to do this. But then there's this perception, especially on places like TikTok, where people are really putting down property managers for the way properties are presented when you can only do so much. And no matter how much you push your landlord and you tell the landlord, there's some things that you actually can't do. And I'm just doubling into that. My mind just went elsewhere. But
you're probably thinking of Purple Pinger.
Oh, don't! Yes!
That's a shocker.
Yeah, it is.
You guys get hit more with him than what we do in WA. He leaves WA. He's done a few in WA, but he's mainly
Melbourne. Yeah, I just see those, and it's just a lot of it. I do see his point of view though, because some of them I see and I gasp, because some are unlivable, some are crazy, but some you can't, like as a property manager, you can only push and do your best so much. You can't be like, you can contact the landlord as many times as possible, but you can't be at their house every day of the week saying, fix it, fix it, fix it. It just doesn't work like that.
No, exactly. Wonderful. All right. Well, I mean, I think I might have to change this topic name to TikTok do's and
Oh my God, sorry if I haven't got to.
No, I love it. I love TikTok. And I told you before that, like, I love the conversation-based style podcast. So for me, I think those that are listening like the general chit-chat, because it's just like you've got a friend in the car talking about real estate and TikTok, you know, as they're driving along. So so that is what people love. But just to recap, I think a reminder for property managers out there, with their clients, as you know, go into this year trying not to be as transactional based and look at the value add, which really can be done easily. So that can be done easily by having a quick Zoom to check in with clients, even sometimes the process of just inviting clients to the Zoom. So I think out of maybe 120 clients, I might have had 40 people book, but the fact I've invited is actually the really important part of the process as well, because that's seen as the value add, so that when it comes to fees and things like that, clients are seeing that extra value. So that's the first tip for today. The second tip is to create that network. So people like Madeline, advisor agent, I'm sure I'll speak on your behalf, you'd probably be okay if someone was to call you up or message you and say, hey, can we do a little video for my clients, something like that.
Yeah.
So that is a real easy thing to be able to do, and do a video with, you know, someone like Madeline, do it with a finance broker, financial advisor, settlement agent. And throughout the year, that's already four or five videos that you'll be able to start spotting through or emailing through to your clients as a value add. So you get some comfortable with that network. And then that also forms part of the education process as well. So when it comes to clients not wanting to do maintenance or having thinking that they pay too much for fees or something like that, it's all about education and making sure they know, instead of like whinging about it, turn that into, well, how can I teach my clients of the good value? How can I teach them of all this? Like, for me,
I'm worth it.
Exactly. So we've got that responsibility to do that as well. So it has been lovely chatting with you, and I am sure we will speak again, and I hope it wasn't too, now that you've done your first podcast, how was it?
I loved it. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
I told you it would be. Everyone that does their first one always says, oh my God, can I do another one? Everyone loves doing them. So, really good to chat with you. Head over, for those that that have TikTok, head over to Madeline Roberts Property and check out her content there as well to get some inspiration and some confidence when it comes to doing TikTok and reels and things like that. And if you do need if you do need to speak to a buyer's agent, if you need to speak to Madeline to get some support and how you can sort of work with your clients as well, I'm sure Madeline will be more than happy to chat to you all and to give you some guidelines and some help there.
Of course. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day. See ya.
On Tap Plumbing and Gas covers all Perth areas from Mandurah to Turocks and has a team of plumbing, drainage and hot water experts. They have an amazing reputation for their excellent service and quality workmanship on time, every time. And it is easy to see why they are a favourite to many Perth property managers. Whether you just need some friendly advice or an obligation-free quote, look no further than On Tap Plumbing and Gas.